Welcome to the BioOptimize Summit, where we explore the next level of physical and mental health you can reach through intentional and targeted optimization. I'm Dr. Amy, and today we have Dr. Pollock. He used to be a family doctor, now is more a holistic doctor for 15 years, and he is working with the pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, which is why I'm very excited to have him on today so that we can learn more about both the science and then the results that people are experiencing when they're utilizing this therapy. So he does come from an academic background, which is why he appreciates the science behind things as well. So he's had academic positions at Johns Hopkins and University of Maryland. He has been trained in acupuncture, nutrition, herbals, energy medicine, homeopathy, hypnosis, bodywork, and multiple other therapies. And today we are going to be talking about using the pulsed electromagnetic field, or PEMF therapy. And this can be used in all kinds of imbalances, diseases, symptoms, and we're going to be going over that and picking his brain about that today. So he has been featured on many different talks. He has authored a book, The Power Tools for Health. And Dr. Pollock, I just want to thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today and teach us about the pulsed electromagnetic field approaches.
Thank you, Amy. I'm very happy to be here and be part of your summit. I appreciate being invited. And hopefully you and your listeners to the summit, your observers, will learn something new. And if not, at least add on to what they already know.
Right. Well, maybe let's just start with what does it mean, the pulse electromagnetic field?
Magnetic fields are all around us. The Earth is one huge magnet. And it's not a static magnet. It's not a magnet that just sits there. It's a very dynamic, active magnet. And it protects us from the universe. It protects us from the sun and solar radiation and galactic radiation and so on. But at the same time, it's a cocoon. And all life on this planet, through the eons that the planet has existed and had a magnetic field, all life on this planet is conditioned by that magnetic field. So when we leave this sphere, when we leave this sphere, when we go beyond the limits of the planet's magnetic field, we are no longer controlled by the magnetic field of the planet. And so therefore, we can have shifts and changes in the way our bodies function. So if we decide to go to Mars, there are going to be problems with that. Not only the lack of gravity, but also the lack of the magnetic field. Our tissues are magnetic. Our tissues are electromagnetic. And that's the second basic law of the universe, the second factor in the universe. Gravity is one of them, the strong force, the weak force. But the electromagnetic force is the strongest force in the universe, actually. And it's electromagnetic. So where you have electrons flowing, you have a magnetic field. It's like the quantum and the wave, the particle and the wave. You can't separate the two. We study them separately because we can't wrap around the concept that they're all together. Mm-hmm. So the magnetic fields in our bodies are also electromagnetic. So where there are electrons, where there's charge, where there's energy flowing, then there's a magnetic field. Mm-hmm. And so what we've done, the planet by itself over the eons has also depleted itself in terms of its magnetic field. It's about half the strength that it was about 30,000 years ago. So what has that done to our biology? Add to that a planet that is, in a sense, becoming more toxic. It's a planet that's more populated. It's a planet that has a lot of energies on it, like electromagnetic fields, that are produced by artificial sources that are not known to humanity, are not known to biology. But these are unique to us. So that's another sort of factor that our bodies have to deal with. So electromagnetism then is absolutely critical to the functioning of the human body and in general, our functioning in general. I tell people that I basically as a physician work essentially at five levels: tissue, chemistry, physics, quantum physics, and let's say spirit. And we could argue about whether spirit is quantum physics or not, but I separate spirit as yet another level. At the level of tissue. We're talking about surgery, manipulation. We're talking about massage, exercise. All that happens to the tissue itself. But what makes up tissue? Molecules, right? What makes those molecules work properly? Physics. You can't dock a sodium with a chloride or chlorine, right? You can't make that happen unless the physics allows it to happen. So physics is unseen, unfelt, unheard, but it's there all around us, right? We're in a sea of physics and controlled by it. Subtly, but we're controlled by it. So PEMFs, magnetic fields, electromagnetics, basically is operating at the level of physics, therefore controlling chemistry, therefore controlling tissue. And we use that, we use those principles when we start to talk about PEMF therapy. Now, there are quantum effects to electromagnetic fields as well, but those are a lot less known, a lot less studied, and a lot less quantified and made to be reliably usable, but they exist as well. And then, of course, we talk about spirit. And so spirit is the other sort of controlling factor from the top down, essentially. So as we think, so we are. As we believe, so we are. And in a sense, that's probably spirit or quantum, at least.
And there are ways to measure the electromagnetic field and what's going on in the body. I'm most familiar with measuring that in the brain. But what I have recently found, and again, one of the advanced trainings in the somatic experiencing, the heart actually has a threefold stronger electromagnetic field than the brain. And that allows it this other means of communication with the whole rest of the body, not just relying on chemicals, hormones, the other means of communication that we have in our body. So can you go into it just a little bit briefly in terms of how do we actually measure, how do we actually see this electromagnetic field? How would we know that the heart has a threefold times greater electromagnetic field than the brain?
Well, you could actually measure it with instrumentation. And we have devices called MEGs, MCGs, magnetocardiography, that they exist now. They're probably more in the research realm. And we absolutely, in the medical realm, are using MEGs, so magnetoencephalograms. And magnetoencephalograms are now being used in larger tertiary care centers, larger university centers, to measure seizure activity in the brain. Stuff that you can't see on an EEG. The problem with EEGs is they're very superficial with the way they measure brain activity. So either you put a probe deep into the brain and you measure the electrical charges in the brain, which is invasive, or you can use an MEG, which is like a big helmet, essentially you place on the brain, and it measures very subtle magnetic fields. The body's magnetic fields are, let's say Tesla is a term that's used to measure the quantify a magnetic field. So relative to common usage, one Tesla is 10,000 Gauss. So our body's magnetic fields are in the pico or nano level of Tesla. So they're like 1/10,000, 1/100,000 of a Gauss, extraordinarily subtle. So these devices that measure these fields from the heart or the brain really are extraordinarily sensitive. And you have to be very careful. You have to have rooms that are completely shielded so no external radiation can get into those environments, because the radiation from a television or a computer monitor or from a cell phone even, never mind the frequencies, but just the radiation from a cell phone is enough to distract these fields. So our bodies are extraordinarily sensitive to these external forces as well. Now, the rest of the body still produces magnetic fields. Wherever you have charge, so the issue again is wherever you have charge, where you have electrons flowing, you have a magnetic field. And nothing in the body is static. Everything is in motion constantly. So as we say, if you don't use it, you lose it.
Well, and when you say electrons flowing, the first things that come to my mind are the nervous system. You have a lot of electrons flowing in that system. That's one of the main mechanisms of communication by which it can flow so quickly down a whole nerve. And then the mitochondria, right? Like the mitochondria are made up of electron transport chains. So you have a lot
every cell in the body is electrically active. Mm-hmm. Because a cell that's damaged builds up charge on the outside of the cell. It's supposed to be in a balanced state with electrons moving in and out of the cell on a regular basis. The same thing happens once it gets into the cell itself. The mitochondria then have their own transport, electron transport chain. So it's all very dynamic, and they have to be in balance.
Right, which given our environment, given the number of toxins, given the number of other magnetic fields in our environment, I can imagine that since every single cell has some electromagnetic activity, that's a big area of compromise if the electromagnetic fields are off. How does that optimization or under optimization and even compromise, what does that look like? How does that happen? What effects does that have?
Well, I would say there isn't a human on the planet who isn't under optimized. I think it's almost impossible. So it's a constant process of having to rebalance, constant. And the tissues, the body's smart enough to do that by itself. Let's go back for a second to, you said nerves. But quite frankly, if I clench my fist or clench my hand, I contract the muscles in my forearm to do that, right? Not to mention the fact that the brain is telling me to do that. Right? It's activating the motor cortex to cause me to do that. But when I do that, there's a charge that flows at the rate in the fascia and the interfascial planes in the interstitial in between the cells. There is fluid, there's saline in that area. It flows at the rate of 30 meters per second, faster than a nerve.
That is true.
Because it's not bounded by the boundaries of a nerve. Mm-hmm. It's bounded by the tissue planes. So we have that kind of activity going on. So between organs, as you walk, as you slosh your gut, right? As your lungs expand and contract, all this activity is going on. Even the pulse of a heart beat is called magnetohydrodynamics. Magnetohydrofluid dynamics. So the blood itself is ions, right? Electrolytes, the red blood cells and all the electrolytes that are in the blood, as they flow through the body, there are all the cells that are sort of stuck in one place. They're being magnetically interacted with every pulse of the heart. So if you stop breathing, of course, then magnetically you die too.
Yeah, and thinking of how much our heart beats and how much it, especially when we're in a sympathetic state, where it's even beating faster. That's a lot of energy being consumed by the heart. That's a lot of fluid moving through the heart. I can see why that would be creating such a stronger electromagnetic field than maybe other tissues in the body.
Well, the heart itself, absolutely. Because it's all muscle and it's constantly beating, constantly contracting. So which two organs in the body use the most ATP?
Brain, heart.
The heart. So where you have all that charge, you need more ATP, you need more charge production, you need more energy production to keep those processes going. So what limits optimization, right? Why are we not optimized? Lots of reasons, but you can go back, you can go to diets, you can go to exercise, you can go to rest, you can go to supplements, nutrition, you can go to attitudes, belief systems, your ability to be creative. Do you shut down or are you open? Do you have an open field? Then all of those are what we consider to be optimized health. So is everybody optimized perfectly in all of those aspects? No. So I ask my patients on a regular basis, would you rather have good health or average health? Everybody says
they want they all say good health.
They all say good health, every one of them. Then I say, okay, now I'm going to go through a process of doing risk assessments, and we're going to do some biochemistry, we're going to do some lab work, we may do some imaging studies, we may do gut biome testing, we may do different types of tests. And so then I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you what you need to do to have good health. And what percentage of patients would do everything you tell them they need to do to have good health?
From my experience, it's few.
It's very few. Maybe 2-3% will actually do everything that you recommend to them. So this is what you need to have good health. So therefore I tell them, you don't really want good health. Mm-hmm. You really don't. What we're gonna do now is we're gonna bargain for your health. You're gonna decide, you, not me, I'm not your doctor. You're your doctor. I'm your consultant. You're going to decide what you're willing to give up, and you're going to have to live with those decisions. And you already have, because this is where you've made those decisions all along the way to this point, right? So now if you want to get good health from this point forward, here's what you're going to need to do. And then you go through that process of iterative thinking about what's essential, what's going to kill you the next month, what's going to kill you the next 30 years, what's going to cause you to have Alzheimer's, et cetera. So really then what you do is you do that full assessment of what aspects of their optimization is necessary to get them as close to optimization as possible. But even if you do, the problem is entropy, mm-hmm. right? So I talk about insufficiency, sufficiency, and entropy. So when you're insufficient, that's where we talk about getting you to an ideal state of health, whatever that might be. But then you can't stop there. So once you get sufficient, whatever sufficiency is, then you're constantly battling entropy. So most people start from insufficiency, relatively speaking, to sufficiency, relatively speaking, right? And then you're still not there because now you have entropy. So what's entropy?
The process of breaking down.
So entropy requires organized structures to have energy to maintain those structures and functions. So that requires energy. And as we get older, we have more and more and more entropy. So that means we're constantly battling entropy, and entropy requires energy. Mm-hmm. So what do magnetic fields do? They work by increasing the charge production in the body. So when a magnetic field passes through the body, then that energy does not stay in the body. That magnetic field does not stay in the body. The body is completely transparent to a magnetic field. That's why you can sense another person at a distance, depending on how sensitive you are. That's why you could read a mind, because you're broadcasting. And that magnetic field goes off to huge distances, especially with low frequency magnetic fields. So then magnetic field therapy then causes charge production in the tissue. Magnetic fields, Faraday's law, interacts with charge. So when you have a magnetic field, you have charge. When you have charge, you have a magnetic field. And they walk together. And as one influences the other, they're constantly washing each other's hands. So when you pass a magnetic field through the body, poop, ATP gets produced. So how much ATP is produced in the body on a daily basis?
I don't remember that number from biochemistry.
Your body weight. You produce your equivalent of your body weight every day in ATP. Now, why don't you gain weight? It's because you're using it constantly. So ATP molecules are turned over between 200 to 500 times per day. You're constantly making and using ATP. When you have inflammation, there's a huge demand on ATP.
So how does inflammation affect the electromagnetic fields then in the body of the tissues?
Well, it puts a greater demand.
The ability to actually like travel through those tissues that are so swollen and have more fluid from the inflammation?
The state of the body does not matter to magnetic fields. There's no difference. Whether it's bone or muscle or brain or skin or fat, it makes no difference. It's as if it didn't exist. When you take a magnetic field and you have the magnetic field here, you put a body here and you measure the magnetic field out here. You can measure the magnetic field, then you remove the body and you measure the magnetic field again, there's no difference. The body is completely transparent to a magnetic field. So that's not the issue. The issue is how does it work? By the motion through the body, the interaction with the charges in the body, amplifying the production of charge. And we become sick because charge gets depleted. We become sick because charge gets stuck. Mm-hmm. And so when you're doing magnetic field therapy, basically what you're doing is you're amping up ATP production, but at the same time, you're increasing the amount of ion flows, the electrical flows that are supposed to be there naturally in the tissue. And when you do that, you rebalance.
Right? Wow, this sounds so similar to the like the trauma therapies, and this idea that trauma is stored in the body and it gets stuck, and it's because the charge from that initial activation actually gets stuck in the tissues, in the body, in the nervous system, because we didn't complete the survival cycle at the time. So it's making me think that this is like the more depth, more details to understanding how trauma and stress actually get stored in the body. It's from this charge, this electrical charge getting stuck.
Well, talk about that. So for example, you have TMJ, you have clenching. So why do you have clenching? It starts with your beliefs, right? So you're fighting something. You're anxious, you have fear, you're shutting down, you're clenching those muscles. And when you clench the muscles, clenched muscles need a lot more energy.
Yes.
They're working constantly. But on top of that, they decrease the circulation. So when you squeeze a muscle, right, you don't get blood flow through that tissue. Mm-hmm. When you don't get the blood flow, then you don't get the nourishment of the tissue, the nutrition right. that it needs, right? And the mm-hmm. joints begin to break down, the muscle gets sore, you develop areas of trigger points and so on. So that's where you're storing that energy, if you will, in the body. But what the magnetic fields do, they don't deal with your brain. They don't deal with your thoughts and beliefs. You have to deal with that through other mechanisms, right? But at least what they do is they restore the tissue temporarily, mm-hmm. because otherwise, if you don't change what caused it in the first place, you're not going to fix it with the magnetic fields, or at least not durably fix it.
This really has the potential then to help with lots of different types of tissue injuries. I mean, even I'm thinking like head concussions, right? Like that can be a big one. It can cause a lot of imbalances in the body, gut problems even. And it sounds like the pulse electromagnetic fields would even be helpful for those types of injuries.
It really doesn't matter. Any cell... Now we're talking about the cell level, right? So we have 100 million cells in our body or so. So we have our sensory system, our perception. So there are people obviously who are extraordinarily sensitive in their perception, but most people are not. Most people are relatively like rocks. So if we have 100, the analogy I use, if you have 100 trillion cells in your body and your left little toe decides to get a hangnail, how many cells have to be damaged before you even notice that you have a hangnail? Millions of cells are damaged because you have to get to a point of damage where your nervous system now is telling you there's a problem there. But the good thing about magnetic fields is they're operating at the cell level. Obviously it operates at the tissue level, the organ level, the organism level, and so on. But if you're operating at the cell level and you're fixing those cells before your body even notices that you have a problem, the amount of energy that you need to fix it at that level when it's just beginning cell injury is a lot easier to manage than it is when you have a fracture. So the fracture is big damage, and it takes a lot more work to repair a fracture than it does to repair a muscle pull that you strain just slightly.
So if a person did have one of these injuries, say they had a fracture, say they had TMJ, say they had a prior TBI, whatever the injury is, and they come to you, what is actually happening? What are you actually doing to apply this pulsed electromagnetic field therapy for them? What does it look like?
Well, let's go back to my book. So to give people a basis for doing this, to think about this, is I wrote a book called Power Tools for Health, which explains mechanisms. It explains, I go through about 50 different diseases with the science behind magnetic therapy in those conditions. And if you understand that there are these 25 different mechanisms of magnetic fields, then it doesn't matter what the disease is. As I said, magnetic fields don't care what cell it is, right? They're inanimate in a sense. They're dynamically inanimate. They pass through and they're gonna do their job. Whatever the cell is, it's going to need, we all start with one cell, right? Well, two, I suppose. Right? They're all the same. They then differentiate in various ways, but basically they're all exactly the same at some holographic level. So it doesn't matter what the system is. Then you have to decide what kind of magnetic field you need for the task that you have at hand. Do you need a whole body magnetic system? Do you need a magnetic system just to treat the brain? Do you need a magnetic system that's going to treat the heart or the lungs or the back or a hip or a knee? Right? So you pick your system. So on my website, drpollock.com, That's drpawluk.com. I have a whole host of different devices. There's a lot of educational material on there that's free. You have to buy the book. Right, but the book is more comprehensive. It's more sort of linear and logical in the way the ideas flow. So you can get different devices for different things, depending on your objectives. For example, if you have osteoporosis, you're going to need a whole body magnetic system. Right? We do DEXA scans for the hip and the spine, but basically it's all the bones are involved in osteoporosis, some more than others. That means you need a whole body magnetic system. And then the question is, do you need how strong does this magnetic system need to be? And magnetic fields like light and sound and so on drop off very rapidly from as you move away from the applicator, which means you have to take into account the strength of the magnetic field at the distance that you need it to operate. So if you're laying on your back on a magnetic field, then the back of the body right next to the magnetic field is going to get the strongest magnetic field. The other side of the body is going to get almost nothing. It drops off so rapidly. So you have to account for that. And I have a blog on my website about adenosine as a receptor for inflammation. Optimally, you need 15 Gauss at the receptor to decrease inflammation. So if I'm treating a wrist or an elbow or just a skin lesion, a spider bite, something in the skin, I only need about 15 Gauss. But if I'm dealing deep into a shoulder, deep into a hip, into a brain, TBI, then I'm going to need a much stronger magnetic field because it's got to go through a lot deeper distance to be able to do that, deliver that 15 Gauss. So you make those adjustments based on what you're trying to treat.
And then say we're working with an injury, and then later we'll come back to optimizing. But if we're working with an injury, and what is the time frame that we're talking about to get back to a place of health in that tissue at that site?
I think that's a really important question. That's also something that most people tend to miss who work with magnetic fields and don't understand the biology and pathology and healing and regeneration. Every tissue in the body has its own sort of repair capability, repair cycling. For example, corneal cells recycle in 24 hours, right? Gut cells take about 3 days, mm-hmm. right? Skin, a couple weeks. Bone can take years. So even though you have a fracture and you could use the fracture at 12 weeks, it's not healed. You keep x-raying or doing MRIs of that fracture site, and you can still see the site of the fracture 2 years later. So we know that bones are the slowest turning over tissue of the body. So that's why we're a new person about every 7 years, because it takes that long for the bones to sort of essentially turn over. So if you understand which tissue you're dealing with, then you have some understanding of how long that tissue is going to take to heal on its own normally. Then you have to think in terms of the depth of the pathology. So what I basically think about it in three levels, and I got this from my acupuncture training. This energetic level, where things are basically just very light and easy in the body, the physiologic level, the pathophysiologic level, and the pathologic level. So a fracture is a pathologic level, but a fracture is not just the pathologic level. You have multiple tissues that are damaged to different degrees. And each one of those tissues, ligaments, tendons, bones, blood vessels, nerves, soft tissue, all of that's going to have a different healing cycle in terms of how quickly it's going to heal. So once you know how deep the pathology is, so I'll give you the analogy of a cold. When you're first getting a cold, you have a basically it's at an energy level. You feel something's off. The next level would be you start having a sore throat. You start sneezing, having a runny nose, maybe a bit of a temperature. That's a physiologic response to the infection. But once the infection progresses, now you start to have dead tissue, right? You have necrosis of tissue. So you start to produce colored mucus. You start to cough up mucus that's got color to it. Or you have really significant ear pain, you know, et cetera. You start to have lymph nodes. Now you talk about pathophysiology, but there's no such thing as pure pathology. It's always going to be some degree of pathophysiology, at the very least. But you can get rid of a problem at the energetic level by going boo. Change your mind, gone. Right? Almost essentially. So if you start to treat a cold with PEMFs at the energetic level, it's gone. I've seen pain go away with one treatment in 15 minutes because it's stuck at an energetic level. But once it gets to physiologic, it's responding physiologically. All these physiologic mechanisms are now at play here. It's not going to take as long to shift that back out again, away from the infection. But the more, again, the deeper it is, the longer it takes.
If we're wanting to live optimized, we really do need to be incorporating the pulse electromagnetic fields on a regular basis, because just like you had mentioned, the regular process of entropy and aging and breakdown. And so for maintaining the healthy optimization, then we really want to be incorporating the pulse electromagnetic field therapies all the time, like in our regular life, not just after an injury, after an insult to our biology.
So again, nobody's optimized, right? Everybody's got stuff going on in their bodies. And because you have stuff going on, you have to fix the stuff or get the stuff back to a sort of a neutral place at least. People argue with me about osteoporosis. Well, do I really need that high intensity magnetic field for my bones? Do I need to do it? I say, you got to do it at least 30 minutes twice a day. Well, why can't I just do it once a week? So the question I ask then is, does osteoporosis ever sleep? Yeah. Right? Cancer patients, same thing, heart disease. Does cancer ever sleep? So do it once a week and see how far you're going to go. You have to keep up with your disease process. And you don't want to find out later that you couldn't. So what you want to do is to optimize at the beginning as much as you possibly can, because there's almost no risk of harm with magnetic fields. More often they reveal problems that cause problems. So the biggest limitation that people have for optimization is they underuse. They get the wrong equipment. They decide to make the decision to buy their equipment based on cost alone. And then they say, I don't want to put the time in. So then we get disappointed that magnetic fields don't work. Well, you didn't work, not the magnetic fields.
And this is information that you have on your website that can help guide people in terms of what type of electromagnetic field therapy would be best for them given their situation.
Generally speaking, and we do offer consultations. I do consultations. I have a colleague, Dr. Marlene, who does consultations. So we try to fit the right equipment for people. Like bargaining for your health. We start bargaining with people because they don't want to do what is really optimal for them. I can understand that because these devices are not cheap.
What are the price ranges that we're talking about?
Well, we have some machines that are very local that could be $400. We have other, if you want to do a whole body treatment, like for osteoporosis, to do it properly, you have to spend probably $6,000. What is the spinal fracture worth?
Right.
Or a hip fracture. Now, you'll wish you spent $6,000. Right. So really you have to think of it that way. So magnetic therapy is an investment, as you were saying, is an investment in your health. You're going to use this equipment for whatever you need down the road. So when you buy a magnetic system, I tell people you didn't buy it, the house bought it. Because everybody in the house can use it. The dog, the cat, the plants, your kids. I don't know if you should treat your relatives or you should treat your neighbors, but yes, people do that too.
So let me ask you personally then, what equipment, what therapies have you used for yourself for either healing injuries or maintaining as much as possible a state of health? What do you use personally? What do you do?
Well, fortunately, I have access to the whole range. I'm in that position. And as a business, I can't recommend something as a physician that I haven't used. And I have it tested and tried and know what it can do and know what it can't do. And then being a doctor, again, understanding pathophysiology and healing responses and all the things that we talked about, I'm more likely to apply a therapy to myself that's appropriate to my problem. So I have used whole body systems. I've used local systems for an elbow. In fact, right now I'm dealing with a middle finger that's a little arthritic, a little bit of clicking going on. So I'm doing a local magnetic system, something like this. This is a newer generation. It's not out yet. It's blue. But there's a white one, white version of that. So you can put that on to your finger. You can wrap it around your finger and run it for hours at a time.
Could you actually show us how you use that? Like, if someone had never really been introduced to PMMS before, they don't know what this therapy would look like, they're interested, can you walk us through like how you actually use it on your finger so that they get a sense of how they would use this equipment?
Sure. Let me plug this in. So once you get your device, you'll get a manual, you'll get a video on how to use it. And we, our staff are available by email and phone to answer any questions beyond what they we provide you there. So once you understand your machine, and that's critical, understand your machine, then you turn it on and you have different settings. So in this particular device, you have six settings. You can control the treatment time and you can control the intensity. So optimally, you want to get to the maximum intensity. So I will turn this on to the maximum intensity, pick the program that I want to use. And in this case, it's 10 hertz, 10 cycles per second. And then you turn it on and you run it. Then what I would do is I would take an ACE bandage or a little wrist or a glove. And I often will cut the fingers off the glove and just have it sitting here in my hand. And then basically turn it on and run it. And it'll run, because this is a rechargeable battery system, it'll run for hours. I use this under my pillow all night long to tune my brain using brain frequency concepts, neuroscience concepts. So it'll run at, say, delta, 3 hertz, under the pillow all night long. My brain starts to tune into that to that frequency. It quiets down and you sleep through the night. That's basically how you do it. It's very simple.
Mm-hmm. And sleeping is a big issue for many people. And I use something that helps my brain go into the delta waves. But this would be another approach that people could use to help with those delta waves then while they're sleeping, is put this under their pillow, run it at 3 hertz. That would be the same for everybody, right? Like, that wouldn't be something that would be unique to them, because everybody needs the delta waves when they're sleeping.
Exactly. And I recommend delta. You could do different things with audiovisual entrainment, and I've done a lot of that over the years. But the beauty of the magnetic fields is that while it gives you the frequency, it's also giving you the magnetic field. And that means the magnetic field is passing through the brain, improving circulation, decreasing inflammation. So it's helping to tune the brain in other ways beyond just the frequency that you're giving it for sleep. But yes, basically it's doing that. It's just tuning the brain, tuning it like you do with a radio dial. You're tuning it to that particular frequency.
Mm-hmm. Great. So for people who are thinking, hey, this might be something that I should use, it sounds like whether they've had prior injuries, whether they have ongoing symptoms of something, that would definitely be a reason to use the electromagnetic field therapies. But even if they are well and they want to just take their biology to the next level, this would be a way to do that, right?
It's insurance, right? So another example of insurance, not leaving things to chance, is if you have an operation. So when you leave the hospital after your surgery or the outpatient surgery center, what does a surgeon do when you leave? Right? Why? Because a surgeon does nothing for you to make sure that you heal properly after that surgery. So basically, you're leaving things to chance. Magnetic therapy doesn't leave things to chance. It then takes everything and optimizes it to be the best healing that you can get. So fractures heal in half the time. Skin wounds heal in half the time. You know, other things begin to benefit in half the time. So because we all experience entropy, even when we're optimized, everybody, as you said earlier, everybody should be doing magnetic field therapy every day anyway. Antibiotics is another good example. When you go and you have an infection, what do antibiotics do? They kill the bugs or slow them down. But what does it do to heal the infection? The disease process in the tissues, the damage caused by the infection. Nothing. We do nothing in medicine, right? You cross your fingers. Hope they don't have a side effect from the medication, and hopefully it works. So again, we don't leave things to chance. So if you own your magnetic system, you're owning it for all the things that could go wrong in a body, all the possibilities that magnetic fields can be applied to over time. The optimization, nobody's optimal. That means, as we said before, everybody needs magnetic therapy regularly.
So if we're going to be using this for insurance purposes, and we want it on hand for when something does happen and we want our body to heal faster, what would be the best equipment for them to use for all kinds of stuff, whether it's they hit their head or they, you know, have a sprain on their ankle? Is there one equipment that they can have on hand ahead of time that they can use for several different types of potential injuries that they might have?
Unfortunately, there is no such thing as one size fits all. There are people who are selling devices in the community who are salespeople, basically, who say, my machine is the best. Nobody else does what my machine does. But they are one Gauss, often, these companies. One Gauss is not enough to do very much, except maybe to stimulate the acupuncture system. Sure, people get benefits from it, but it's not going to do enough. If you had the money, and we don't have a perfect machine out there. Hopefully one day I'll be able to develop something that's close to perfect, but you're going to have to pay for it. The more it costs, the more design features it has to it, the more it's going to cost. Most people probably need a whole body system for whole body tuning. And they could use a portable system like the FlexPulse to deal with spot treatments. So a whole body system may not be strong enough. So if you want a whole body system that is basically got the ability to control intensities, frequencies, and time, and intensity is really the most important thing, then you need one that's strong enough to do that. And one that I use, that I recommend regularly, is called the ParMeds Super. So it's got whole body, it has a sufficient intensity for the most part to do most of the healing work you need, and it's got a local applicator that you can control on a PC to design the frequencies and intensities that you want and need. All right? Anything less than that probably is not going to give you much, you know, as much benefit. In an ideal world, if you had all the money you would ever want, or had enough at least that you never had to worry, then you probably would own four systems. So there are very high intensity systems that are strong enough to cause muscle contractions. So there's one that's called the Hugo. That any biohacker should be on a Hugo. And we have that on drpollock.com on the website. So that's high intensity. Now, not everybody needs that high intensity, and you don't always need to use the highest intensity anyway. So that's a whole body system. And then you go down to local systems, like we're talking about treating the brain for TBI, or stroke, or Parkinson's, or MS, or Alzheimer's. You need higher intensity systems, and they are commercially available that you go to a doctor for what's called RTMS, for treatment-resistant depression. But then you have to keep going to somebody and pay them money, and your insurance may or may not cover it, right? So you own your own system. So that would be a high-intensity system that delivers about 4,000 Gauss. And the one that I frequently use is called the ParMeds Multiflash, which is reasonably affordable. Well, reasonably affordable is, you know, it's like beauty. So you use a higher intensity, then you use something like a portable system, like the FlexPulse. So that's three. If you've got those three systems, you've covered the waterfront.
Mm-hmm. And for the whole body systems, Dr. Pollock, is this, like, how does that actually set up? Is this something that you can't do anything else when you're doing the whole body electromagnetic field therapies, or you can set it up and be doing your work? What does that system look like?
Yeah, it's hard to do work on a whole body system. You're plugged into the wall, right? You have to lay there to do your treatment. You can't get off, and you probably shouldn't really be rocking and rolling on it. You're not going to be doing
something that you lay on then.
You have to lay on it. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to lay on it for some period of time, depending on the problems that you're dealing with. So for health maintenance purposes, I usually tell people to do 30 minutes in the morning to get rid of the cobwebs from the night before. Mm-hmm. Right? And then I do 30 minutes at the end of the day to get rid of the stress in the body that's built up throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And it prepares you for sleep. Most people who do PEMF therapy at bedtime find they sleep much better than they would normally. Because the body is basically just sort of tuned down and relaxed. You stimulate endorphins, enkephalins, serotonin, all these neurotransmitters get stimulated during magnetic field therapy. Your muscles are relaxed, your circulation has improved, you've increased your ATP, So for some people, that's actually a problem because they wake up because you got now a lot more energy. So in that case, you do treatment at bed at dinner time instead of bedtime.
Good. Well, thank you. Is there anything else that you can think of that a person should absolutely know about this before we end our conversation today?
I think the most important thing, as you said, is that, you know, A, we should all be doing it.
Yep.
Because we all wear and tear. We all have nicks and, you know, creaks and rattles and scratches and bumps, right? Every one of us. And those who are especially active, those who do biohacking are really doing a lot of physical work, running, jogging, play a lot of sports. Their tissues are very damaged. Their hearts are better, their brains are better, but their body's getting a lot more wear and tear. So they really do need magnetic systems. But again, every one of us should have something. It's like a first aid tool. I had an interview with Dr. Mercola, and he said, yeah, you know, you're right. Everybody should have one of these systems.
What system does he have?
I can't,
you know? Can't talk about that. Can't disclose that.
You know, I don't know, and I can't say.
Got it. Well, and what I really appreciate about your website is that you have a lot of information on there. You have a lot of the studies, so if people want more of the science behind it, you have that there for them available, which I really like, and I appreciate that. So thank you for doing that science background for those of us who are science geeks.
Well, we need the validation. We need the comfort that there's some, you know, it's not just my idea. We talked before we started about the placebo effect. Good clinicians, good physicians want you to be engaged and believe in your therapy because that enhances the benefit of it. But it doesn't matter whether you're a worm or a rabbit or a mollusk, a dog, a cat, all biology benefits from it. Even okay. Plants, people who use magnetic fields to treat the water that they're going to use to water their plants, the plants grow better.
Good. Well, I'm excited. Yeah, I'm excited to try some of this stuff because I think this is an area that I can optimize even more. So I'm excited. And thank you for this talk. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on today. Thank you for your time. Thank you for sharing your expertise and your experience in this. I really appreciate this, Dr. Pollack.
My pleasure. And I appreciate you having me on as well.
Good. And thank you for joining us today, for spending this time with us to learn about how you can optimize your biology. Together, let's find that next level of health and aliveness.